Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's find out together, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. That is the sound of a manila. Why do we call it a manila envelope? Why? Vanilla. I think that's how most of us first said it when we learned about this color and this type of paper in school. It's a vanilla envelope. No, it's a manila. I don't know what that has to do with the Philippines. Nevertheless, I hold one in my never. You know the answer to this?
No, I was just going to say that's a folder, not an envelope. But I mean, whatever you want to call it.
You are a legalist. And you know what? And you're a homophobe.
What?
And you're racist.
Okay.
And sexist, too. How dare you suggest that? What did I say? An envelope?
Envelope.
Well, it's kind of a, by broader definition, it's an envelope. And when I say broader definition, I mean so that the talk show host doesn't need to look like he was ever corrected. Because that is rule number one in talk radio. I have in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a manila
folder.
Let's see together. Ooh, very exciting. There's still a little bit of room. Not much, but a little bit of room. If you are going to be anywhere near Atlanta / Alpharetta, Georgia, Friday night and or Saturday morning, join us. Dr. Greg Gifford's going to be in town. Can't wait. He's a delight to just hang with, let alone to do ministry with. He's the host of Transformed, which I commend to you most heartily. So good. He dealt with a pot, alcohol, and
profanity.
Profanity. Pot and profanity. I should have remembered. Did he alliterate? Gifford's a Southern Baptist? Who knew? Maybe he is. I don't know. The point is, he talked about pot. What do we do about that when our current president wants to make it nationally legal? What do we do with a government that gives it away to people so that they can get stoned? He tackled that. It was excellent. Profanity. How do we use our words? This was the keeper line. Jimmy, do you remember? You produced it.
Right.
All right. The keeper line about the swear words. Here's the rule. If you want to know if you should use that word or not, would you teach it to a 3-year-old? There you go. And you say, well, it's a 3-year-old. These are adult words. Well, you're saying that these are words that adults should use or can use because it's inappropriate for children. Why? What makes it inappropriate? It's because it's coarse. It's crude. It's lowly. And our words are not just supposed to not be that. They're supposed to be edifying and uplifting and helpful words. That's how we're supposed to use our tongues. Terrifying statement when Jesus said, probably was Matthew, yeah, it was Matthew 12, that every idle word that you speak, you will give an account for that. And I got to tell you something. I understand idle words now. About 3 weeks ago, my throat decided to take a vacation. It was just, I don't know what it was going on. It was just, and so I couldn't talk. It happens on occasion, the allergies around here in Atlanta. And so I couldn't talk. But for instance, I'd be in the car with Mrs. Friel. She'd say something. And I wanted to comment, but I couldn't talk because I didn't want to use my throat because I wanted it to get better. And I realized, wow, I say a lot of idle stuff. Now, not every idle word is sinful. Yeah, there are a lot of bugs on the windshield. That's an idle word, and it doesn't mean that it's sinful. It just means it's idle. It just means that all the stuff that we say, God will judge it. It doesn't mean necessarily that it's sinful. But God will judge it. And if nothing else from Jesus' words about judging every idle word, we could use that to perhaps let that be one of the filters that we use before it comes flying out of our yammers, that I need to be uplifting. I need to be speaking, because if you're going to be judged for every idle word, most likely you, like I, would conclude, oh, that's a negative judgment. Right. But it could also be a positive judgment. that your idle words were edifying. Those will be judged too and rewarded. That might help us all just to think through a little bit better what it is that we say to people. I mean, for instance, before I just say, and somebody that I know missed my birthday when I didn't miss his birthday.
What?
I'm making something up, Jim.
Oh, okay. All right.
I am not talking about, say, you. Okay.
I texted you first.
And I felt so bad because yours is the day right before mine. Hmm. And I had the gift, but I didn't text. And when yours hit on my birthday the day after, I was like, oh, nuts. That is, you know what that is? That is so male. That's what that is. Competed. Oh, man. Didn't mean anything about the sentiment that you're wishing to express. He beat me to it. It's all about competition. Before I would say anything, will it edify? Even if I'm going to joke about it, could it possibly in any way hurt, demoralize, be received in a way that perhaps is not Barnabas-like, not an encouragement? Every idle word. Greg will be speaking many non-idle words Friday night, Saturday morning. He's going to be delivering 10 lectures on the inner man versus the outer man. You say, well, that doesn't seem to apply to me. Yes, it does. If you have been or you know somebody who was diagnosed with a mental health descriptor and perhaps told you need to take these pills, this will be so helpful for you. You don't need to be a biblical counselor that comes, but if you're a biblical counselor and you can get to Atlanta, specifically Alpharetta, we're going to be in the Wretched Studio. Not a huge audience because, well, it's a studio where we do Wretched. And he's going to be delivering those lectures Friday night, Saturday morning, and then he's going to be preaching at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday morning. Super excited about that. He's going to be talking about how the church is the place for soul care. That it is the church, Colossians, Ephesians, 1 Peter, how we're supposed to be helping one another, exhorting and encouraging and ministering to one another. That's this weekend. If you're near Atlanta, you can register at wretched.org/mental health. It costs nothing. There's no fee, there's no tickets, but we just need to know that we got enough chairs. So if you'd be kind enough, wretched.org/mental health. But we're nowhere near being done in this Zanilla folder that I've got in my never before. Hey, if I identify it as a Zanilla folder, it's a Zanilla folder.
Right, as long as it's a folder now.
You're racist. Quit judging me. Sexist. What you are. Announcement. Wretched's global warming sale. Oh, I have to believe that it was... It had to have been Emily that came up with this. Am I correct?
I don't
know. I'm guessing. Sale's so hot. Oh, great. You should like this, Jimmy. It sounds like there's going to be a bunch of dad jokes. Sale's so hot. Right now, July 15th through the 21st, Wretched's global warming sale, up to 60% off, free shipping for orders. Wow. Free shipping. Did you see the price of a stamp is going up?
Oh, my goodness.
Honestly, what was it? We bought something, and I was remembering the price. Oh, I wish I could think of what it was. It was once nine. It was like $9.99 because everything is 99 cents at the end. So you don't think it's the next dollar amount, and it works. It's now $16.99. It's not like 20% up in prices. It's outrageous what is going on with prices. So global warming sale, July 15th through the 21st. If you're wanting some Wretched stuff, you can find it. This would be a good time during the Wretched global warming sale. I think I remember we had a Bastille Day sale once too.
Oh, really?
People are losing their heads over these prices. That's my daughter right there. Oh, look at what else is inside of my, what am I calling it?
You've called it a lot. Everything but the right thing.
Am I getting up your nose?
No.
Just a little bit.
No.
Then you need to hear exactly what I've discovered in my manila folder.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. This happens to be a chunk of the message that I was given the privilege to present at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday, talking about Jesus the greatest and how it is that he is the greatest in every regard. Think of an attribute. Think of an ability, an emotion, a principle, a concept. Every single positive thing that we observe in the universe, Jesus rightly claims, I'm greater. I'm better than that. And we need to not just know that, but we need to get that. Because let me tell you, what happened on Saturday night, which is causing no small amount of consternation for many people, things don't appear to be getting better in our country. And we're being given platitudes. Everybody just get along. Well, I don't think that platitudes are going to work. But what will work is theology applied. And so it is, because it's in my manila folder, we will study how Jesus is better, greater than everything. And it'll do your heart good. Next on Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for joining Wretched Radio today, and we want to introduce you to one of the new voices that will soon be joining this ministry. Meet Pastor Brad Bigney.
And so real joy is found when you move from trying to seize the extraordinary and you slow down to savor the ordinary.
Pastor Bigney is a certified biblical counselor. He is a pastor with a Master's of Divinity, and he's also an author. His expertise, though, is in marriage and parenting, and he provides invaluable guidance for families, and we cannot wait for Pastor Bigney to start producing content for our ministry. And that's where you come in, because your support can help us bring more voices just like Brad Bigney's to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign right now, and you can get all of the details on how you can do that at wretched.org/fellows. Get all of the details at wretched.org/fellows, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now your host, handsome Jimmy Hicks. Go ahead, Jimmy. What did you say during the break?
Oh, I said you missed the connection with Greg Gifford when talking about his podcast from Saturday.
Yeah.
Him speaking about idle words.
Right.
The Christian response to the Saturday night tragedy with President Trump. That's the response that a lot of people...
Using idle words.
Having right now, yeah.
Yeah. Look, we want to be careful that you don't get so tied up in knots that you can't ever use your tongue naturally. But we are indeed called upon to think through things before they come flying out. And there's a lot of talk that is happening because of that's major news. It is major news. Assassinations, we think third world countries, but hey, they ain't nothing new. Are they? Abe Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, now Donald Trump. They happen. And we want to simply respond thoughtfully, biblically, in a way that perhaps is a contribution to the conversation that is distinct from what pretty much everybody else is talking about. That is what we will now endeavor to do here on Wretched Radio, looking at how Jesus Christ, in his proclamation in Matthew chapter 12, that he's greater, he picked the great stuff, the temple, Sabbath, Moses, David, Solomon, I'm greater. And so the question is, how is he greater? And then the follow-up is, how is knowing that going to help you as you respond to what everybody's talking about? It should bring a different perspective to it. And so we will study the theology about Jesus' greatness, but not lock it up in a vault. You got to open it up. It's got to make its way in. And that usually is going to take some time. It's going to take some pondering. And it's going to take perhaps a little bit of a debate in your brain. When you study, for instance, the number one descriptor of God in the Bible, the number one way that God describes himself is good. Good. Okay, you can hear that and go, all right, got it, good. And then the second one is able. The third one is faithfulness. Okay, got it. Good, able, faith, gaff. Good, able, faith. Got it. That's not where we stop. You got to think it through. Are you saying that the shooting was somehow good? Well, it was a tragedy. We don't want to overlook that. But when we remember that God is good, what happened on Saturday is best for the people involved. It is best for the people viewing it, feeling it, and that's every citizen in America. And it is certainly good for God. And I don't want to dismiss the tragedy, but I want to realize, wait a second, God is in control of this. God is the sovereign one. He's orchestrating and ordaining everything, and he's good. Okay, I can rest in that because it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel that way to me. I get that. But it is good because God doesn't do anything bad ever. And when we remember that he's able, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, we realize, okay, this situation is totally underneath his control. We could study the doctrine of omnipotence. He certainly has the power to deal with it. Omnipresent, he knew what was going on because he's everywhere. He's not in all things, as if he's a panentheist deity, but he's everywhere. And his knowledge is entirely infinite, knows everything that is going on. And you remember that, and that he is good, and that he is able, and that he is faithful, and you can go, it was a tragedy, and we're going to mourn with those families. We're going to pray for those families. That was a tragedy. And I've seen theology almost abused in this regard. Yes, what we saw was terrible, but God is good, able, and faithful, and sovereign, and therefore we're not going to be feeling bad about. Don't do that. That's almost like a theological clubbing. But as Christians, we can see these tragic events, recognize them for the tragedy that they are, but not be troubled. That's the point. that our hearts are not troubled. Isn't that what Jesus commanded the disciples on the night he was betrayed? The big bad stuff, the biggest baddest stuff is about to happen. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And then, by the way, the next three chapters, basically a theological discourse, because it is theology that calms our hearts, but we've got to use it rightly and we've got to remember it correctly. Richard Sibbes, if he didn't think that the Puritans ever spoke warmly about God, God is goodness itself, in whom is no evil, but infinite sweetness, a sea of all goodness. And that means we can swim in that sea. And that means we can be calm even when the waves are turbulent. How's about the fact that Jesus is the kindest, that our God is kind, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. We were dead. He made us alive. And here's why. In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God is kind. If somebody isn't being kind to you now, you need to know God is kind. And he never treats you that way. And you cannot exhaust his kindness. And you will experience one day for eternity his kindness and never get to the bottom of it. He's patient. He's slow to anger. He's the most generous one. He's the most knowledgeable one, the most powerful one, the most present one. He's the most independent one. That's right, the doctrine of aseity. He doesn't need nothing. He didn't need us, but he made us anyway. Why? Out of his great love. God didn't create us because he had to fill his days somehow. Totally content as the Trinitarian Godhead. Nevertheless, out of his love, he made us so that we could know him. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples made by human hands, not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he gives everyone life and breath and everything else. That's our God. And he's not running out of gas. And he never changes. If God changed, the implication is, oh, he needed some improving. Nope. God doesn't need improving. And that's why he never changes. And that is why you can know that his promises for you are indeed yes and amen. That he who began a good work in you is indeed faithful to complete it. He's not going to kick you out of the kingdom. He's not going to toss you out of the salvation life raft. He said, I'm going to save you eternally. He means it. He doesn't change. You can count on it. And you can know that he's the greatest when it comes to righteousness and justice. That whatever evil was perpetrated on Saturday, whatever evil has been committed against you, going to be dealt with. No cold cases, no shenanigans, no dateline. They got away with it. You're going to make sure everybody is hunted down, brought into court, and given justice because he's the most righteous. He's the most just, but he's also the most merciful. He's rich in mercy. He's the most gracious. He's the most loving. He's the most sovereign. And here's the this exalted one, this is like the punchline of all punchlines. This is like the, wait, what? For all of history, nobody is going to outdo what God has done. Being exalted above everything infinitely became the least, that we might know his greatness. Whoa. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself, the great one, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He's the greatest who became the least, and he's your God and he's in control. There's another category in which he is still the greatest. When it comes to wrath, nobody compares to God's wrath and anger. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such thing, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. John Flavel. God has powerfully armed himself with wrath to execute vengeance. His arrows are sharp. Their poison is deadly. Thomas Boston said, God's wrath is no pop gun wrath, but the wrath of the great God. What are the implications? If you're outside of Christ, you better run to him and you better make it fast, because this day your heart might be hardened or he might take you out and you will face this God of wrath on Judgment Day, custom designed for you, and he will cast you into everlasting death and destruction. But for those of us who are in Christ, we should marvel at Jesus that he endured that wrath on our behalf. And we should rejoice even when we look around us and we go, whoa, everything seems to be unraveling. It's chaos out there, not inside of our hearts, because the Great One consumed the wrath that we deserve so that we can live. And that should bring us calm. It should give us courage. It should remove anxiety. And it should cause us to worship like a nobody's business. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.